قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني. It is a Muslim, whether a non-Muslim, whoever it is, but the love for the Creator, love for the one that has made you, who has nourished you, has bestowed various types of favors upon you, is natural. The question is that you want to respond to the kindness of Allah Ta'ala. You know, respond to it with love. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah. For His kindness, for His benevolence, for His compassion, you wish to respond. You want to reply. Right? If a friend sends a gift, then at least you will have the decency of telephoning him and receive this Jazakallah, may Allah Ta'ala accept. Some way you will thank him, you will show your appreciation for the gift that he has sent. So, within our minds it is there that these favors that are coming from Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes they are direct favors, and sometimes there are favors that are indirect. Direct favor, like you see the rain coming, it's a direct favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And sometimes it is an indirect favor, it's coming from Allah ta'ala but coming indirectly. We enjoy many blessings through the hands of our parents, our guardians, whoever it is, but through them we enjoy many things. Now then you find showing appreciation, there will be two types of people. One who recognizes the favor, the ihsan, the good of his parents. And the other, he feels, well, really I don't get anything out of them now. And I'm doing my own thing. I'm working. I'm generating income. I'm taking care of myself. And they are aged, so really they are a liability. They are not any good an asset to me. So, I don't see the point in being good to them. So now this is one type of thinking. He sees himself to be able and capable of managing things. When man sees himself to be able and capable to manage things, now he questions himself that why do I show love to my parents? He doesn't see the need for it. But the one whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with understanding, he looks at it differently. As his understanding grows, as he becomes more and more mature, then his love and appreciation for his parents also increases. It doesn't decrease in any way, it increases. So this is a token, a sign that his understanding and his knowledge has increased, his maturity has increased. So, when his maturity has increased, he wants to show appreciation, he wants to show love, he wants to reply to the favor and to the kindness that he has enjoyed. Now, how does his understanding increase? His understanding increases sometimes through hadith, that he understands that the mother is, or the father is the doorway to Jannat, right? Or he understands that beneath the mother's feet is Jannat. So he understands all these things here. And he reflects, his maturity is increasing. So he sees those days where he was useless, he was unable of doing anything, and the loving care that he enjoyed at the mother's hands, right? How they would stay awake the night, to see to his comfort, to see to his ease, to see to his happiness. So all these things will play up, and as they play up, he wants to reply to the kindness and to the good that he had received at their hands. Right? So this is a sign of maturity. It's a sign that this person has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with maturity. And then you get the other person who's not mature, and he doesn't want to think in that line. The Quran Sharif, one of the first verses, right, in Surah Al-Baqarah, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, the sign of the believer, sign of the muttaqi, is the one who believes in the unseen. Right. So, with this maturity, he understands that there is a thing like continuity. There is a thing that I cannot see now. That is the future, that is the life that is to come, that is my adulthood. So he understands all these things. When he understands these things, he thinks to himself, well, today my parents have reached their adulthood where they are useless, they can't do anything. But I will also reach that same age. I will be good to them, my children will be good to me. So this is how he reasons, this is how he thinks. Although he doesn't see that age, he can't see it now straight, but his understanding that he's been blessed with leads him in that direction. So similarly, when we look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His favors, then it is natural within us that we want to reply to that favor. We want to respond to that favor somehow or the other. We want to reply to the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now then, what do we do? Do we reply to the favor in accordance to our own understanding and reasoning? Or is there a certain way how we will enjoy or how we will show this appreciation? One is, now, alright, he's been good to me, and then let me be good to him. Using your own understanding, your own reasoning. And when you use your own reasoning, obviously you're going to go wrong. In India, one Pathan came from his country, he came to a town in India, you see. And they took a lot of good care of him, and he was sick and was met up in an accident. So the town people, or some family, had took good care of him, very good care of him. They hospitalized him and they did all what they could do for him. So now this villager, this Pathan villager, he says to those house people that been good to him, that, you know, if you coming to my country, then I will take good care of your people as well. I will look after you. Please come to my place. So now, that man had to do some business. For some business reason, he had to go to that country, Pathan country, he had to go up there. So the Pathan took good care of him one day, second day. The third day came, this Pathan's wife told him, as the husband went away, you see, so the Pathan's wife is telling this guest that came from India, by Musafir, you rather just pack up and go. How can I leave? This brother of mine has been so kind and he wants me to stay for a month at least. And then how must I leave in 2 days? He says, you don't understand. You don't understand my husband. He's left in his absence, I can talk. See, you don't understand him. When he says that he's going to look after you and he will reward you for the favors that you have done to him, what he really means is, first, you know how you were injured and you were hurt, so he'll injure you, hit you nicely and injure you. And when you injure properly, then he will take care of you. So he'll repay you for the type of khidmat that you have done. Now you see, he wants to be good, but he's using his own reasoning. His intention is false. His intention is not false. In Bengal somewhere, in some village, you see, villages, they think differently. So, some of them may have heard of mazars and how people go to mazars and they get all their murads and all fulfilled, you know. You know, you see Hindus coming to Badshahi and all that. Someone is coming for examination, someone is coming for some problem, court case, right? So now that Buzurg had to go to that town or the village in Bengal, you see. So he had come here, and those people, they got the picture of India, you see. They got a picture of India, that these are bazaars there, and people flock to those bazaars, they get the things done. So now this is a Buzurg, this is a treasure we have got in our hands. We can't let go of this treasure. How do we secure this treasure? So what they did, they killed this Buzurg. And they built his grave, the bazaar. And they're crying, you know, hey, Amara Buzurg, mar gaya, mar gaya. And meanwhile, they built his mazar there. So this barakat, this tabarruk came in our hands. Now, we must make the best of it. We can't just let him go, we'll kill him, bury him here, yeah, and then we'll take the barakat from him. See? So the reasoning is like that, you see. It's not that they want to be wrong, but the reasoning is all cockeyed. So their behavior will go that way. So the important thing is that we need to learn how to please Allah Ta'ala, right? You want to please Allah Ta'ala, you want to make him happy. Why? For the favors that he's showered upon you. So you love him, but you want to express your love. Now, how do you express your love? Right? To a different occasion, different situation, you express your love differently. To your mother, you will express love differently, right? To your father differently. To your child differently, to your wife differently, to the Baytullah differently. You love all these things. To the Roza Mubarak, you will express your love, and you will express your love in a different way. Now, how do you express your love here? That's the important thing. How do you express your love? A love, you express that love, and that expression of love must be acceptable to whom you are expressing it. You are expressing it to Allah Ta'ala, it must be acceptable to him. That's the criteria. Otherwise, it's an expression of love that is rejected, not acceptable to him. Like I say, that person had good intention. Right? He wants to injure him and hurt him nicely and then repay him after that. You see? So his intentions are good. Overall, you look at this, intentions are good. So this person was hurt and damaged and everything, was hurt, injured, now let's go and repay him. So his intention is good. Intention is not bad, not flawed. But the whole procedure is corrupt, is pervert. So similarly, now you want to show your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how do you show your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the question. Now Allah ta'ala has understood us because He's made us, He's created us. He's designed us, and all organs, all the systems and all the feelings that we have, He knows about it. So He knows that when I have created them, then they want to love me. But then they want to know how to love me. Can't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam had passed by a shepherd. Famous incident, all times from the often discusses this incident. He passes by a shepherd. So he says to the shepherd that, you know, he passes by the shepherd and he hears the shepherd talking. He's supplicating and he's asking, in his supplication, he's talking to Allah ta'ala. Oh my Allah, where are you? If I knew where you were, I will come to your house. I will sweep your house, I will clean it up. All the mess and the dirt, I will clean myself. And Allah Ta'ala, you know, when I come to your house, if I meet you, then I know you are very tired, working so long, and you're working tirelessly, so I'll come and rub your feet for you. And when you're lying down, then I'll remove all the lice from your hair, and I will give you a good malish, I'll give you a good massage. And Allah Ta'ala, I know you're tired and you're hungry also. How long are you working for us? And you are showing all that compassion and love for us. So I will milk your goats and I'll give you the milk in the morning and the evening. Now this person is going on. And Musa alayhi salam is a Nabi and he's overhearing this whole conversation. So Musa alayhi salam couldn't contain himself. You became a kafir. What are you? What are you up to? What are you doing? Who are you addressing? Anyway, his mouth was sealed. His mouth was sealed because his intention was to do good, but what was coming out of his tongue was all opposite. So he went absolutely silent. Now Allah Ta'ala revealed the wahi to Musa alayhi salam. Baraye wasal kardan amadi nake fasal kardan. Musa, you have come to join people to me, not to break them away. This person had love, his love was sincere. But now he is living in the sticks, right in the villages he's living. And he doesn't know. But he doesn't know in accordance to his understanding, he wants to join up to me. He wants to show love. He wants to show appreciation. He wants to show thanks. And now when you told him, Kafir, you're doing this, you turn an adversary to Allah Ta'ala, you have sealed his lips. You have sealed his lips. So now, your work is to join people to me, not to turn them away, not to break them away from me. So this is natural in every human being, in every creation, that they want to show love. That animal, that you show some goodness, wants to show love, wants to repay you, the horse or the dog. We all talk about their faithfulness, their loyalty, right? But the good that we show, they want to repay it. For that manner, anything else, any other creation, but the love and the kindness that you would show to it, and he wants to repay. Musa alayhi salam was walking past a stone, you see, a rock, and he saw the rock crying. So he asked the rock, "And what are you crying for?" So, you know, I heard that the fuel of Jahannam will be men and stones. Quduha an-nas wal hijara. So when I came across this, that we will be the fuel of Jahannam, then I broke into a fear. What do I do? How do I save myself? How do I emancipate myself from this fire? So Musa alayhi salam pleaded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he got the stone saved from the fire of Jahannam. Sometimes later he goes past the same route, and he sees the stone crying again. "Bhai, I got you saved from the fire, now what are you crying for?" He says, that crying got me saved from this fire. That crying, it saved me from the fire. Now why must I leave it? It's a good companion. It's such a good companion, it saved me from this. It saved me from this disaster. Now I'm crying out of love. But it's a companion that saved me from all this disaster. Now, in the time of happiness, must I abandon this companion that has saved me from such a bad, such a destruction, such great destruction and such great disaster? I can't abandon it. So we wish to show our thanks, our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We want to show that love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to show our appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one great way is crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll cry. Why you'll cry? You'll cry to show your inability. Right? See, the worst thing, most dangerous thing is to peep into others. Right? To peep into others and to try and find out what's happening here, what's he doing, what's happening in that part of the world. Right? That's about the worst thing in this day and time for most people. Not for all, but for most people. Now, why it's the worst thing, I say? It's worst thing because when you begin to look and peep into other people's lives and you hear other people's stories, then you have mixed feelings and mixed emotions. Then you begin to feel at one stage, but how could these people do such a thing? Right? How can they do such a thing? Right? That's the one feeling. Alright, till that point it's alright. That you are disgusting the wrong. But then this feeling begins to progress. It progresses, then you become complacent within yourself. Well, at least I'm better than these people. These people have gone. See, if they've gone to the dogs, I'm not behaving like how they are behaving. So what's happened to you? You consider yourself to be superior. They were already a lost sheep, right? They were already broken. They were already destroyed. But you went to that same, you went in that very direction that they have already gone. So you felt complacent within yourself, you felt good within yourself, and you looked at them with despise. So you none the better, you no better than these people. Right? So that is why I say, to be too inquisitive of what's happening to that person, what he did, what this person did. That's the second wrong. The third wrong is we're getting the information via someone or the other, newspaper or someone, some friend or whatever, right? Right. You'll hear in information, for example, this person, he's a sellout. He's bought out by this country, right? He's a spy for America, for Russia, whatever it is, he's bought out. And that's how they trapped him, right? Now, because it's a friend, so you believe him. Right? Now, that's the third wrong, the third problem. It becomes a problem, and how does it become a problem? The Quran Sharif says, لا تقفو ما ليس لك به علم. Don't pursue things that you have no knowledge of. You're not absolutely certain about, then don't pursue it. Now, you heard from a second source or a third source that this person, he's committed zina, or he's bought out, or he's a spy for so and so, right? Up to this point, you had a respect for him, and you had some type of, held him in esteem. But the moment you had this information, I say, hey, I don't know who to trust and who not to trust. Right? Now you're in a doubt. You either go into a doubt, or either you are convinced that this person is wrong. Right? Now, the simple thing was, if without your ikhtiyar, without your choice, some of that information came to you, right, that this person did this, that person, then what should be your response? How should you respond to such information? The best type of response is, لَوْلَا إِسْتَمِعْتُمْ قُلْتُمْ سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. Right? But when you hear some slander, some information, etc., and that information is about your brother, right? It's about your brother, then what do you say? Now, the brother has got a record. There's no blemish on his record, right? Not that he's very pious, but there's no blemish, there's no stain on his record. But there's no stain on his record, more or less, he's not doing any serious guna, etc. Then you hear some information about your brother. Now what do you do? How do you respond? You say, قُلْتُمْ سُبْحَانَكَ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. It is not right for us, it is not permissible for us to speak about these things. This is an open allegation. هَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is an open allegation. That's the best cause. When you take that route, then you have acquitted yourself, you have freed yourself from all responsibility, this world and the hereafter. Say, for example, if your brother turns out to be a rotter and a sinner, he's really committed that crime, and you said, no, it's not right for us to speak about something, it's not right for us to speak something like this, right? In the presence of Allah Ta'ala, you are still innocent. You are not sinful at all. You are clean. In His records, in His books, you are totally clean. But say, for example, you believe that, right? That information that came to you, and you believe that information. And now, when you believe that information, you standing before Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak says, أَقِمْ بَيِّنَةَ الْبَيِّنَةَ عَلَى هَذَا. أَقِمِ الْبَيِّنَةَ عَلَى هَذَا. Establish the proof for this. You heard this information, and you had given it some place in your heart, you had entertained that information, but I want to know, Allah is asking you, I want to know that you entertain this information that you heard from some way or the other. Now, where is the proof? Where is the evidence? How do you justify yourself? Now, in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, have you got any explanation? Have you got any justification? Then is it wise to go in that direction? An alim is in a different position. See, an alim who is mediating, etc., right, is reconciling. So he will take it on face value. This person says, no, that person robbed me of 1,000 rands. So you don't want to believe. He will say, all right, if this is the case, all right, call that person. He calls that person. That person says, I'm free. So he'll say, no, I've got some proof. So now he's taking it on face value. Now that's a different thing. He will take it on face value because this thing has come to him. Now he's under obligation to mediate between the both parties. So he has to take those facts to bring about that mediation. You understand? Now, let me give an example. He doesn't have to be an alim or non-alim, or so he is mediating. He is mediating. He is trying to bring some reconciliation. So you have to listen to the facts. He's not listening to the facts partially, number one, with prejudice he's not looking. And number two, he is not looking at the facts to reach to a certain conclusion. See, he's listening to the facts to come to a certain conclusion, not doing that. He's listening to it impartially. And if you don't have that mind of impartiality, then don't fall into mediation. Remember that. If you don't have the mind of impartiality, of prejudice, you know that you will become a victim to prejudice, then rather don't go into it, because you're going in for good, but you're coming out with evil. So you haven't scored, you haven't gained, you have lost. Whatever good you went with, you have lost all that, and you came out. So the easiest way, I would suggest, is you put yourself before Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak is asking you, by you made this allegation, you made this accusation, you charge this person here for this. Where is your proof? You give me the proof. Now, if you can't answer that one, forget it. Just leave it by the way and carry on. Simple. Isn't Islam simple? Why should we make Islam and Deen complicated for us? I don't have the proof. I don't have the evidence. Now, the question will come, alright, then what? Must we just trust everybody and anybody? Must we just trust anybody and everybody? Like, if we are going in that direction, tomorrow I'm doing business with you, right? And you are saying that I must have a clear mind. I must have a clear mind of everybody. Now, if I have a clear mind of everybody and anybody, then that person may be a cheat. He may be deceiving, right? Now, my mind is clear. So, because I have kept a clear mind, now I'll fall further into deception. I will fall into loss. So the Quran has taken out a way out for us. إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنْ فَاكْتُبُوا. When you are dealing with respect to things, with transactions which require future payments or future deliveries, you're paying now and the delivery has to be done at a future date, or you're receiving the goods now and the payment is done at a future date, right? Then what the Quran says, فَكْتُبُوا. Then you follow this procedure. You will reduce it to writing, appoint witnesses, right? And if there is a situation that you need to take a collateral and a security, you will do all this. So you don't distrust your brother, but in compliance with the command of the Quran Sharif, you will behave like as though you don't trust the person. So this is in compliance with the Quran. Now it's a proposal that came, right? Obviously, and the proposal comes, you're going to make a little bit of investigation. Say, no, you people making ghibat of me. You people making ghibat of me. You know what will happen to you on the day of Qiyamah. So, if any person is going to come with a proposal, you're going to make some investigation. And making an investigation is a requirement of deen. Because, let me say something. When a person comes whose character is good, whose deen is good, so in order to prove his character and prove his deen, you have to make some investigation. Without making the investigation, how are you going to know that his character is sound, his deen is sound, right? So here, when it's relating to dealings, it's related to dealings, you make some investigations. And that investigation, etc., is not counted as ghibat, is not counted as wrong, you understand? This is where you are required to get involved. But where you aren't required to get involved, why should you miss yourself? It doesn't harm your deen. It doesn't harm your akhirat. It doesn't harm the akhirat of your brother. It doesn't harm the deen and the dunya of your brother. It doesn't harm your deen. It doesn't harm your dunya. It doesn't harm the dunya of your brother. It doesn't harm the dunya of the deen of your brother. It doesn't harm his dunya. It doesn't harm his deen as well. But if it is a potential danger to his deen or to his dunya, then you warn him, you tell him, by you're dealing with this person, I had an experience, unpleasant experience, you take care. Now that is a brotherly advice that is required of you. Because if you fail to give that advice, and if this person falls into problems, and then you turn around and tell him, but I knew that this person was like this, obviously you say, no, that was not right of you. You knew about the person's wrong. Why did you please disclose? That is mind into a certain amount. If you're not clear about it, then stay out. So the easy way is you put yourself in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. You put yourself in the court of Allah Ta'ala, in the threshold of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and it's easy to come out. You'll come out very easily, like how you are pulling out a thread out of flour. So easily you will pull it out. That is, if you've got that consciousness and that awareness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you are there. Allah Ta'ala is there, he is watching. Al-Mu'ana Siddiq Sahib Banbi Rahmatullahi Shaykh was Mulana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi. Senior Khalifa was Mulana Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. He'd been the principal, the Muhtarim and the Nazim of Sahanpur in the good days from the Sheikh's time, and all that time he was the principal. Very great alim. He mastered Arabic language and English. Master in English and in Arabic and Urdu. And impromptu he'll give you poetry, whether it's Arabic, whether it's Urdu, but impromptu, just it'll come out natural for him, poetry. So he had such a command over the language. But there were several things in his life that are enviable. You envy the things that were in his life. Number one, he would never miss his Takbir Ula. Many sufferers and many journeys he will cancel. Why? If I'm going to go there, then I will miss out my Takbir Ula. I fear that I will miss my Takbir Ula, so I rather don't go there. And let alone the namaz with the Jamaat. Yeah, you say, hey, I made the Jamaat, Alhamdulillah. Yeah, let alone the namaz with the Jamaat, the Takbir Ula is not lost. For years and years and years it carried on. He never missed his Jamaat. In India, they have, in every town they have 20, 30, 40 masjids. Now, he got caught up in something, sometimes perhaps a toilet, whatever it was, sometimes you have a sudden takaza, certain urge, caught up. And now he just came to the masjid and the namaz is over. So his Khadim or Asadullah Sahib says, Mawlana Siddiq Sahib says, you could have seen the disappointment in his face. He was so upset, you know, the disappointment. I couldn't see that on his face. He was like in tears. So he says, is there any other masjid that we can get our Jamaat? Because there are several 30, 40 masjids. So if the namaz here is 7:30, other masjid will be 2:15, then 8 o'clock, then if Talimuddin will get it 9:15, right? So, he's going from one masjid to the other. Eventually, he told his Sheikh Mawlana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi that there's one masjid that's right out, about 1 or 2 kilometers away. There, the chances are 100% you'll get your Jamaat. And they walked very briskly until they came. And those people are saying, Khuda ke bande tum kahan the? Hum to intezar mein the ko aa karke hame namaz padhaye. Where are you people? We are just waiting that someone comes and leads the namaz for us. They were happy. Jaan mein jaan aa gaya. This was the one thing in his life. What we are talking of, muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. What? Don't lose the theme. Muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. These are all ways how we gain the muhabbat and the proximity of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The second thing, he says, Mawlana was going perhaps after Zohar or after Asr, he was passing by one street. And like how you have in India, the Bhangi. Bhangi is not the person that gives Azan. See, that is Muazzin. Or you call it Bhangi. Bhangi. Bhang is Azan. Azan in Urdu or in Farsi is called Azan. Azan is declaration, announcement. And in Urdu or Farsi, that is called Bhang. So the one that gives the Azan is called a Bhangi. Understand? Not Bhangi. Bhangi is the one who cleans the toilets and all that. So now, this person is cleaning the toilets, you know, to clean the streets, the sewage in the streets is cleaning up. And one of the students at Awud Mulana, this Bhangi is not careful enough, and some of the splashes of the sewage gets onto one of the students' clothing. So Mawlana Asadullah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, was quite affected. You're blind, can't see that suri is going on to this person here. Anyway, he said that and he went for namaz. Hey, then he's holding his head that I'm not supposed to talk to this person in this way. I reprimanded him more than what he deserved. See the stock, taking stock of oneself. that love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not damaged, is not broken down, it's not severed, you don't damage the relationship. Now, as great as you are, the greater you are, the more you'll be concerned about this. That you don't want any interference of the line. You want a clear line. The reception must be clear. And these type of things, they break that type of reception. You know, the type of reception you were enjoying and you were seeing all the time. Now that type of reception is not there. That is why they say, Bardila Salik Hazara Hazar Ha Gam Bhuad Nar Khilale Dila. He says that the Salik, on his heart there are 101,001 types of agony. If he sees a small difference in his relationship with Allah Ta'ala, the reception is not as good as it used to be. So there are thousands and thousands of afkar and worries that settle on his heart. What have I done that I brought this upon myself? So he's worried about it. Until he hasn't repaired it, he is not easy. He is not at rest. He is not comfortable until he has not repaired it. Whether it's at night, whether it's in the morning. But he's got a problem. He wants to repair it straight away. He wants the reception to be clear. Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, he gets up with a little bit of gabrat. So that gabrat that he got up, his respected family, household, she also got up. What happened? Gabrat ki kya wajah? Why are you so gabrat? Why are you so worried and restless? No, in the morning, I took 1 rupee from you. You know, and I didn't settle it. So now she got angry. You know? Woman got different type of tabiat. She got angry. Yeah, very good. Now you become very muttaqi. The day of Qiyamah, the way you're carrying on the day of Qiyamah, I'm going to hold your neck for this 1 rupee. So I have to explain her. Ye toh muamla ki baat hai. This is a thing related to dealings. Your love is in its place. I respect that. But this is with dealings. I need to get the record straight. I don't want to go with my records not straightened. So now, I forgive you for this. Now we can rest. Now, in 5 minutes, Mawlana is resting again. See, so they can't see their relationship with Allah Ta'ala damaged. The reception must be clear all the time. Small things, big things. That 1 rupee, now imagine husband and a wife, but the record is straight. Absolutely straight. And if we get up 1 o'clock in the night, if we get up, then what we'll think, hey, there's an inheritance problem. How can I lay claim to it? How can I lay claim, justify my claim to that? Look at this whole problem and how we will behave. So, Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah, he's on the one side, he's a muhaddis in the Saharanpur Madrasa. He's a buzrug, he's a khalifa, he's the muhtamim. What he's enjoying. But then these small things here, they don't go past him. He doesn't ignore it. No, even though he's a bangi, right? When you want to swear someone in India, you see a bangi, you know, sewage cleaner. You swear him in that way. But whatever he is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. He is a servant of Allah Ta'ala. I'm a servant, he's a servant. Like I've got rights, he's got rights. If he is low in society, that doesn't give me the license to reprimand him and talk to him in the way that I would like. He's low, alright, he's low. But does that give me the license to speak to him in that fashion? No, I didn't speak to him the right way. So, Mawlana Siddiq Sahib says, you should see that anxiety of Mawlana Siddiq. He is. And we tell you, Mawlana, no, this person deserves it. We're trying to comfort Mawlana, you know, he deserved it. So don't come and give me these cheap stories. I won't be comfortable. They read the Asar Namaz or whatever it is and they went back to the street. By the time that Bangi had completed his work and he's gone. The whole night Mawlana is Gabrat state of Gabrat, restlessness. I told this person this thing here, I didn't settle the score. Just one word, what he said, Andhe tum dekhte nahi. You're blind, you can't see. That's all he told him. Just one word, one sentence. Imagine just one sentence. What don't we say to our workers? Which day our workers, we didn't talk to them in this way? Tell us, tell me. Sometimes every hour, every day, every second, sentence, something or other, we're just giving it. Bangi is not a Muslim also. Hindu. He's not a Muslim. But Mawlana is concerned. Whatever he is, but He is a creation of Allah Ta'ala. I told these words here, and I need to go and settle the score. Whole night is gone in the state of restlessness. And khuda khuda karke subah ko jab aankh uthti hai, in the morning when he gets up, then someone tells him, you know, around this time perhaps this pungi will be there. You know, the time that they have passed that street the previous day, see, around this time. So they went, and their luck, they found him there. See, you should see Murana at that time. He's on the one end, he's a muhaddis, he's a buzurg, he's a muhtamim, he's on hundreds of following, everything he's got. And you could have seen him in the presence of the fungi, like a small faqir is telling, like a small beggar, please, brother, for God's sake, please forgive me. I told you some words that are not right. And that bungi, he couldn't contain himself. He said, you my elder, how can you say this type of thing? Everybody recognizes Mulana. He said, how can you say such thing? No. For Allah Ta'ala's sake, just say that I have forgiven you, that's all. Mulana is in tears already. He said, Mulana, forgive me. Please forgive me, brother, please, do forgive me. Until when he said, I forgive you, Mulana came at ease. He took out some cash from his pocket and put it into his hand, and he left. So now I'm easy. So the relationship with the Creator, with the relationship, you want to show love, right? Because of the comfort, because of the kindness that you're enjoying. So don't interfere with that relationship with your Creator. And like I said, one of the main causes for this day and time is we receive half information, unqualified information, we pass it from one person to the other. Then I explained that the information is of two types. One is what relates to us, right? There we can investigate if it relates to us, right? Like I told you, in business, or someone has sent a proposal, etc., there you investigate. And one is that information that doesn't concern us at all. It doesn't affect our dunya, it doesn't affect our deen. It doesn't affect the deen of our brother, it doesn't affect the dunya of our brother. Then why do we get into it? Or that person did this in that country, or he did this here, or he's a spy for that person, or he's so and so for so and so person. It doesn't affect our deen, it doesn't affect our dunya. Why must we talk about it? Why must we listen to it? Why must we entertain it? But in the meanwhile, we have earned a guna, wherein there is no joy. We have earned a guna, we pursued something, we entertained a suspicion about someone, right? And that person is free of that sin or that wrong, he's free. We entertained it, gave it a place in our hearts. When we gave it a place in our hearts, then what? See? We became sinful. If Allah is going to ask on the day of Qiyamah, Aqim ala hadhi al-bayyinata. This is something that you entertain. I had asked you, la taqfu ma laysa laka bihi. Don't pursue things that you have no knowledge about. And you had entertained that. So where's your evidence for that? What are you going to say? Kis muh se khuda ke samne tum khare honge? How are you going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So forget that, just leave that. I was explaining someone that when we go through all these type of things too much, or we go through these type of things, then unfortunately, the cheer and the happiness of our hearts, we are chasing it out of our lives. We're giving it place, right? So the heart was for cheer, for happiness. But for no reason, we have chased that happiness and the chi out of our hearts, and our heart has been replaced with sadness, with dullness, with gloominess, right? And there's no taste, there's no enjoyment, we don't get anything out of it. But now we will enjoy the gloominess, and we will chase the chi out of the heart. So what we are talking of today is, we need to understand the ways how we will gain the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. You know, for the love Allah Ta'ala is showing us, we want to reply to His love. You've been so lovable, so kind to us, O Allah Ta'ala. So we need to learn how to reply to that love, to that compassion, to that kindness of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. How do we do it? Right? The simple, you know, comprehensive formula is, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Tum kaha kaha mare phirte rahonge, you're going to get lost and confused in this whole equation. How to come up to Allah Ta'ala? Let us show you one simple formula. Fattabi'uni yuhbibkumullah. Rasul-e-Pak, follow him, and Allah Ta'ala will love you. Yuhbibkumullah. you will be the beloved of Allah Ta'ala if you just follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You don't know the formula, you don't know the ways, how to get to Allah Ta'ala, you don't know about it. You will have good intentions, but the methods that you may adopt may be wrong. The way that you may create and fabricate of your own self may be wrong. So the simple way, we are illustrating, we are giving you the whole works, we are elucidating it, leaving it absolutely clear for you. What you must do? Follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In anything, small thing or a big thing, whatever it may be. But how did my Nabi Sallam do this? Right? How did my Nabi Sallam do this? On this occasion, what was the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? On that occasion, what was the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So whether it's a small thing, whether it's a big thing, whether it is something in privacy, something done in the public, whether it's something with a friend or something with an enemy, but what was the approach of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How did he do it? I must look for it, I must search for it, and do it exactly in that conformity. I must do it. Allah Pak will love me for that. So isn't that a simple formula? A very simple, straightforward, clear formula. The only thing is that this formula is not just restricted to certain areas of our lives. Our problem is that the sunnah is only restricted to certain areas of our lives. So miswak is a sunnah, so we'll do it. Wearing a turban is a sunnah, so we'll do it. Right? Wearing a kurta is sunnah. These are great, very, very great sunnah. And I say one more thing, that anybody is doing this sunnah in this day and time, you must show a lot of respect. Any person is even wearing outward sunnah is doing respect. Pakistan that we're living in, an environment of kufr, he is identifying with Islam. It's like a beacon of hope. It's a beacon of hope, you know, I can go and talk to him. I see something. I can at least feel that I'm not alone in this whole equation. There's a beacon of hope. So on account of that, you need to respect that person, even if it's outwardly only a Muslim. That's one thing. But the problem is that we restrict the sunnah to just some outward practices, but that's wrong. To restrict it only to that, that's not fair. In every walk of our life, what Rasulullah did? What did Rasulullah do in this situation, in that situation? How did he conduct himself? If you were a school teacher, like yesterday I explained, the school teacher and how he conducted himself. How he conducted himself. He's not an educated person, but perhaps the love of Rasulullah brought him to that conclusion that I must behave and I must conduct myself in this manner. There was a third thing, the same school teacher. See, it applies to anybody in any walk of life. I showed you how he left the hall where there was a dancing going and he stayed in the staff room. Further, what was his relationship with his Hindu neighbor? His Hindu neighbor and how he interacted with him. But there's a third thing also. He says there was a party going on, and one teacher in particular came to offer me one drink. Right. Now, obviously, when you are sitting with the people that are mixed religions, you know, Hindu, Christian, whatever, then you can't just take things on the surface. You can't just take it. You have to be cautious of your deen. Especially in this environment. Now, you won't say now he's being suspicious for no reason. There are all types of people there. People that have got strong scruples and people that have got no scruples. They're unscrupulous. So when you are interacting with people that are unscrupulous, then you need to investigate. They got no scruples. You know from their lives that they got no scruples. So then you need to investigate. So you offered him and he gently refused. No, I don't want it. And he had some doubt, suspicion, perhaps they put some spirit or whatever into it, you see. So the same teacher came again, and he offered it for the second time. He refused it again. When he came the third time, now he says, my suspicions grew now. My suspicions grew to the point now. Now I say, now how must I get the information? So I say, I can only get the information if I jolt him, if I shake him up. So now this teacher, Mr. Khan, very big bird, you see, very big size. And that other Hindu teacher is small. So he shouted, he reprimanded. And who added that into this? So no, not me, that teacher did this. see that again a sunnah. When you're not clear, you investigate. Isn't it a sunnah? It's a way of Rasulullah SAW. Istabri'u anish shubuhat. Anything that is of a doubtful character, kind of doubtful nature, then stay away from it. Whether it's wealth, whether it's friend, whether you will amount to now break is the privilege of relationship with any friend. But it's a doubtful area, then respectfully move away. Respectfully, you move away from this thing. Don't entertain that. This area is very, very huge, very, very extensive, you understand? It's very extensive, things of doubt, and how should you behave, what should you be doing, and which type of person, and how do you behave, right? It's not a law that is applicable right through across the board, right? There are some exceptions to it. The exception to it, Imam Ghazali Sahib Rahmatullah says in his kitab, if, for example, your father has called you to his house, and there is a 5% doubt of his earnings, not a 50% doubt, but there is a 5% doubt about his earnings, should you respond, should you accept his dawah or not? There is a doubt. The best thing to, at the time of doubt, is to keep on, right? But now it's your father that has invited you, and there is a 5% doubt of your father's earnings, right? Now, should you respond, should you eat or not? So, Imam Ghazali Sabran says that now to refrain from this is the higher level of taqwa, right? But to respect your father is even greater, because the level, the percentage of doubt is 5%, right? It's 5. But to respect your father is even greater. So, because the respect of your father must be greater, you must accept his dawah. Respond to it. You need to respect him. His respect is for us, right? Respecting your father is for us. Listen to your father. The percentage of doubt is 5%. In that situation, to keep out of it would have been good. But now you are in a quandary. On the one side, you have got your father's respect. On the other end, it is a 5% doubt. Now, what do you do? How do you reconcile? Imam Ghazali Sahib says, in this situation, your father's respect will supersede. It will prevail. You must respect him and eat of that food. Now, you're not going to be concerned about that 5% doubt. So, the sunnahs will apply to all of us. Any profession. Any profession. But the moment you've got that love for Allah Ta'ala, the love for His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that in itself will tell you, it will begin to dictate to you what you must do. See? One doctor, old doctor now, he comes and all that, for the programs and all that. So he says to me one day, that, Alhamdulillah, now I've come to some realization, some understanding. Many a times, a patient comes to the surgery, and I will never do an open breast examination. Then I think to myself, see, when Allah Ta'ala guides someone, when he's got that fikr, Allah Ta'ala Himself will lead him through. When he's got that fikr and that concern, Allah Ta'ala will lead him through. Because he's got that fikr, he's got that love for Allah Ta'ala, he don't want to compromise his relationship with Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala will lead him. If it's a female and I have to do an open breast, I won't do it. I won't do it an open breast. What I will do is, I have to use that stethoscope, whatever it is, feel all that. So I will have, I got another cloth there in the surgery, I place it over her. And then I put my hand and I see. I see the pulse, the beat and all that, I see that. But now, where this came from? He could have examined her and he could have taken subtle feelings. You can't say that he's free of the lust. You can't say. If any doctor says, no, I'm immune to all these feelings here, I don't think that's right. No. That lust is there. It's human to be lust. To have that lust, it's human. You can't say that you don't have that lust. But now he's got that figure. He's created a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the love is teaching him right now, this is what you must do. You have to do this profession, you have to carry on. But how do you save yourself? This is how you save yourself, is you get that. You say, that's the one thing that I, one thing that I've adopted and put in place. And the second thing I've put in place is, when I have to attend to a female, I see to it that there are two attendants with me. I'm not doing it all in isolation. I'm not doing all alone. See, so that shaitanic influences will be broken down to the furthest of my ability. You see, that furthest of his ability. To what point he could reach? He reached that point and he crushed the shaitanic influences. But now this, where does it come from? When the realization comes. The love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. He's got the realization, what Allah ta'ala has done for me, I need to repay for it. I need to do something for it. How must I do it? So this is what we learn from Ihsan. You know, the 2 days ago we were speaking about Ihsan. Someone was asking, what is Ihsan? Mal Ihsan. Right. The most comprehensive definition is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given. Anta'budallah ka'annaka tarah. Right. But look at it literally. Ihsan, what is Ihsan? Doing good, do it good. Whatever you are doing, do it good. The husband would say also, no mind, make a little bit food, but just do it well. Don't spoil the thing. Right? So in our food we become very, very particular. All the Ihsan is all restricted to the food. The preparation of the food must be done well. Whole Ihsan story will be just confined to that. And if the food is not right, to Miyaz Sahib ka bara bach hi jayega. Then you see the whole face will turn. Everything else can be wrong in the house, but the food must be right. On time, hot, and must be according to Hazrat's temperament. Then you see the whole house is going well. But if it is not hot, if it is not to your taste, or something is not there, some ingredient is not there, then what happens? What happens? I rather go and eat somewhere else. I go, you blow the top out, right? So Ihsan means doing of good. And doing of good in every sphere of your life. Not only in the food. Right? Not only in the food, in anything, in everything. You're talking to a person, how do you talk? Nabi Sam is telling us, even, Al-Ihsan, kataballahu al-Ihsan fi kulli shay. Allah Pak has ordained Ihsan in everything. You're putting a knife onto the animal's throat. They also Ihsan. Do it quickly, swiftly, briskly, and finish, khalas. So that life comes out of it very easily. But now, blunt knife, and you're doing it sluggishly, and you're putting it through the torture. No, that's not right. Don't do that. See? Don't do that. Ihsan in everything. The customer comes to the shop, don't give him attention. No, be good to him. Why? He must come back to the shop. That the Ihsan comes very easily. Isn't it? Ihsan, I must give a personal service. I must go and compliment him, whatever it is. I'll be good to him. Right? Or, now you have to inject that patient. I said, how much inject him? That he doesn't even feel the pain. He doesn't even know that he's being injected. Right? Wherever in the hands, or wherever he's being injected. But he must come back. So there, that love for that wealth will teach us what to do. Then we don't need a proper class for that. We don't need a proper training. But the love of the wealth will teach us, you know, this is how we do it. So Allah Pak has ordained this Ihsan in everything. Small things, big things, whatever it is, but Ihsan. Be good, talk good, behave good, conduct be good. See? Your namaz is good, your Quran Sharif is good. In everything, let it be good. Even though it's little, it doesn't have to be a very big volume, but let it be good. Let it be good. Kataballahu al-Ihsana fi kulli shay. So this Ihsan will bring you that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, when you're sitting in the masjid, you're sitting for some zikr, tilawat. Right. So, they also have the ingredient of goodness. The ingredient of goodness. Okay, Allah Pak has asked me to recite. This is His kitab. Right? And He's asked me to read. And because He's asked me to read, therefore I'm reading. Reciting it to him, listening to my recitation. So this type of concentration will weaken down. When the concentration weakens down, then you will stop your recitation for a few moments, maybe 20 seconds or so. You build that concentration again. Allah Pak asked me to read, and He is listening, and He will love my recitation. He will listen to it Himself personally, like the hadith says. That Allah Ta'ala listen to it very attentively when you're reading to Allah Ta'ala in a melodious voice. Allah Pak is saying, he listens to it personally. Allah Pak is listening to my recitation. Now you are listening to it in a melodious voice, in a good, with a good recitation you are reciting, and Allah Pak is listening. You are making zikr also, and with the love of Allah Ta'ala. You are reading Durood Sharif also, like you are saying, like a bouquet of Durood Sharif is being passed to Rasulullah Pak, Allah Ta'ala is passing it on. With that love, with that feeling of love, you are passing it on. Not just a ritual, not just a formality. And when you will see, you will see yourself that if every ibadat of yours, you do it with this frame of mind. And very quickly you will find that love, that feelings of love will come, will bubble in your life. You will feel actually enthusiastic to do things. You will feel motivated, you will feel dry, you will feel a drive within you. But then, just that renewal of that muhabbat, that feeling of muhabbat. A man is going to his business, right? Even there you can bring muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak has made these children my dependents. So he will love it that I am good to his creation, right? They are my dependents. It is by and large his creation, but Allah Pak has made them my dependents. And he will be very, very happy if I am good towards his creation. So I am going to generate an income so that I will be able to spend upon them, and Allah Ta'ala will love it. Don't you say that you made a dawat or something and you called someone. So don't you say that you want to gain, you want to curry favor with the person, you want him to be in your good books. So you lay it out and you present it in a way that is pleasing to him. Don't you do that? Doesn't the wife do the same thing? She does it in a way that is pleasing to the husband. So same, you're going to do this. Why? So that Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with this. Allah Ta'ala will be happy with this. Simple, you're going to do the business. But that business also now comes, it's got the flavor of love. What? It's flavored with love. And business also is flavored with love. Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahmatullah used to say, ke sunnat ke mutabik baitul khala mein jana, sunnat ke mutabik baitul khala mein jana, ye hazar غیر سنت سے بہتر ہے. And the thing that he spoke about was ہزار مدارس. What? He says to visit the toilet in accordance to the sunnat is better than building 100 or 1,000 madrasas. He meant some, what he meant by that. What he meant by that was that going to toilet in the sunnat way, this is a direct sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And madaris etc., this become the sunnat, but indirectly. Right? In the time of Rasulullah, the madrasas were not like how they are now, how they are styled and how they are constructed. They weren't then, right? And this is the direct sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's a clear direct sunnat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that it is to teach the sunnat, right? In that respect, it may be greater that you are teaching millions of sunnat in that respect. But the building of the madrasa, that is not in total conformity with the sunnah, because it didn't exist in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Understand? Now understand this in perspective. Please, for I think for all of you, don't quote this thing. Eh? Because if you're going to quote it, you'll quote it, you'll misconstrue it. Eh? But what he's emphasizing here, what he's impressing on, is impressing on this, the importance of the sunnah, how important that sunnah is. That Allah Pak will like this. I'm doing this small sunnah, going to the toilet the right way. See? What happens to us, we're doing a lot of important daily work, whatever it is, and the small sunnahs, they get ignored. Now, to remove the left shoe first, and then the right shoe, or to come out of the masjid with the left, and then with the right, and all these things become ignored. To put on the right shoe, and then to put on the left. Now, that all becomes ignored when we consider it as insignificant and small, in face of the major sunnahs that we are doing, the greater things that we are doing. No, that's wrong. Azhar Ji Rahmatullah used to say, the sunnahs actually bring a noor in your heart. And the noor, what that noor does? The noor motivates you. It pushes you. That sunnah, it creates a noor. And what the noor does? It motivates, it drives you further. And he would say, that if mistakenly, for example, you left the masjid with the right, instead of leaving the masjid with the left, you left with the right. He says, come back into the masjid and then leave with the left. Immediately you look at your heart, you'll find a noor. Allah Pak will bless you with a noor immediately. You just impose that little bit of difficulty on yourself, that you made this mistake, you went back to the masjid, You didn't try to justify. You know, Allah, I'm doing much more important things and all that. Leave these things here for the time being. No, you didn't justify. See, this justifying, that is the wrong. And that's where most of us get broken down. We try to justify the wrong that we are doing. It's wrong, it's wrong. Don't try to justify. See, even if there is a 1% of element of doubt or wrong in that, consider it as a wrong and make istighfar and finish, clear your records up. Don't leave your records suspended. Suspend only, it's not good. Your record and your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, leave it absolutely clear. So you have gone to the toilet, you went to the wrong foot. Now come out of the toilet again. Come out from the toilet and then go in with the left. Now you find the nur in your heart. Right? You're supposed to be cleaning your nose with the left, for example, at the time of wuzu, with the left hand. Now you deal with the right hand. You understood it now, correct yourself. You'll find that Allah Pak is compensating you, blessing you with that nur. And as I say, that nur, what we talk of nur, that nur creates that type of enthusiasm, the drive, the motivation to do good. It pushes you forward. As the nur increases, the drive to go on becomes greater. You become more and more charged, right? So what we are talking of today is, in the face of the bounties and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is natural for us to be concerned, how do we reply to all these favors of Allah ta'ala, this ihsan, and the gifts and the bounties of Allah ta'ala, how do we reply to it? What do we do? All of us want to show some type of reply, some type of appreciation, some token we want to show. And I said that we show token of appreciation to different people in different ways. Wife in a different way, mother in a different way, father in a different way, Kaaba Sharif in a different way, Roza Mubarak in a different way, our workers we do it in a different way, right? Now this appreciation of Allah, how do we show it? Allah didn't leave it to us, because we will get all confused, we won't know how to do it. Right? We will do it on all mixed up ways. Everybody will try to fabricate his own thing. Right? He will try to invent and fabricate his own thing to show this love. So Allah says, no, I don't leave it to you, I will show it to you. I will show it to you how you express this love. You will show this love how? فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Follow my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah ta'ala will bless you with this love. Follow my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah ta'ala will bless you with this love. And then Allah Pak has been even kinder to us, so kind to us. You know, one is, you go to a tailor, and you just tell him, or you telephone the tailor, and I want the length to be like this, and the breadth of the kurta to be like this, and this is the collar, and this is the slits and all that, and this is supposed to be the pockets, and this is how the collar is supposed to be, etc. So he'll do it, but maybe he won't do it to the level of your satisfaction, right? He won't be able to do it to the level of your satisfaction. And the other is this, that you pull out your kurta and you give it to him. Right? This is my kurta, and you do it. Now, the chances are 99%, 100% that he will do it to the level of your satisfaction. You have pulled it out and given it to him. So Allah Ta'ala, in His loving care, in His compassion and affection, He tailored Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He tailored. And He presented it before us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. He made him to the level of perfection in every level, in every respect, in every dimension, everything. He tailored it exactly. Exactly to his pleasure. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was designed to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. His way, his walk, his eating, his drinking, his sleeping, everything was designed how? It was designed to the level of the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I've got the formula is before you. Now just look at him and emulate. You look at him and emulate, it's so easy. Isn't that the greatest type of consideration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's given you the exact formula? You see him in life, you see him, and there he's before you, and there, just emulate him as you see him. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Nasir.